It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than working with a douche. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air. Joe will be running that tonight. If you wish to call in, the number is 845-986-8804. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and I'm joined for the very first time, booker of Bananas Comedy Club, friend to Joe and myself, manager of Bananas Comedy Club, the one and only Denise Murphy. Hello, Denise.
Hello, Davin.
How are you?
I am well, thank you. And yourself?
I am very well. Joe will be joining us in a little while. On the show, we're going to talk to Denise about what it's like to be a booker for a major comedy club and what comedians should do to increase their chances of gaining work and getting rebooked. I have a feeling Denise knows a little bit about that. We will also be playing Savage Menaced and doing a little comics in the news with the Roseanne reboot. So a lot of fun tonight. So have you ever been to a Seder, Denise?
No, I have not.
Never. I'm surprised.
I know. With as many Jewish friends that I have, no, I have never been to one.
Because your neighbor is very Jewy. And friend of both of ours, Jack.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. No. Well, apparently I work every Friday night.
Yeah, but it's not always on Friday.
I thought it was.
No. Oh. That's the great thing about Jewish holidays. They could come at any time.
Oh.
they're like a Mack truck. If you're not looking, you're going to get hit with like a fast day or like a day where you have to be in service. That's the great thing about Jews. Christmas, you know, every December 25th. A Jewish holiday, you don't know when they come.
No.
You just know when's coming.
No. I don't know why. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Well, so I want Friday. I was not working. Now, I like to work.
Because it was Passover, right? No.
It was Passover. And I happen not to be working. Now, okay. I prefer to work during the first 2 days of Passover, so I do not have to go to a Seder. That is my personal preference.
And wouldn't Friday be the more important night of the Seder?
Because it's the first
Passover?
Night?
Or, yeah, because it's the first night?
No. See, that's the thing. That's another thing about the whole Seder. That's all. They do it twice. Unless you're in Israel, they do it two nights. So it's like seeing a subpar movie and go, glad that's over with. There's 5 hours I'm never getting back. Oh, wait.
Is it that long?
Yeah, it can be. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you have to go and do it again the following night. It's brutal. It's brutal.
Same people?
No, you get different people.
Okay.
Unless you're like just with your immediate family.
Okay.
You can't swap out your family.
All right.
So I'm at my sister-in-law's for the Seder, and my brother-in-law was not there. As earlier in the day, he was checked into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So he missed everything. Usually he runs it.
Did he go to the hospital on purpose?
No.
To miss the Seder?
No, he loves running it.
Oh, okay.
No, he runs it. He does a nice Seder. He runs it. He does the English, does the Hebrew. It's a little much, but he has he has a good time. He had his kidney removed.
Well, I would say that's a little bit important.
Yeah. So at the time, they didn't know what was going to be, but he has kidney root. So there's talk that I was going to run the Seder.
I'm sorry. I just think that's funny.
No, that's the proper response. That is the proper response.
You don't seem like the person to run a Seder to me.
No, I can barely run a radio show, so let alone a Seder. No, that's the proper response. Because I'm a 43-year-old man who grew up in an Orthodox family. Never run a Seder. Never run a Seder in my life. Not something I want to do. Now, the good thing is they tell you, because they have it in English, like what to do. So you lift the matzah. You know, here you're going to eat some bitter herbs, yada, yada, yada. So it's not like you got to improv it.
Yeah.
But it's still an authoritative figure to run a Seder.
Okay.
And I'd be at my sister-in-law's. So there's some people who I know and some people I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want that pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. For somebody who stands on stage by themselves for a living, the Seder's a little much.
Yeah.
You know, give me 2,000 people for a comedy show, I'm good to go.
Can you just dim the lights during a Seder so you just think you're like on a stage?
Maybe. You know, if I could sell merch after the Seder,
there you go.
I'd be very happy.
Because you are a merch person.
I am a merch person. Buy some yarmulkes, some haggadahs, you know, have some bitter herbs. I'll sell it all.
There
I don't give a shit. So, but fortunately, my sister-in-law ran the Seder. So that was good.
While her husband was in the hospital.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I saw something that I've never seen live before. So there's about 15, 20 of us gathered around the Seder table. We're sitting down doing little Seder-y things.
Mm-hmm.
Front door flies open. Now, it's not Elijah because because it's not time for Elijah. But you know about Elijah, right?
Very little.
Elijah is the prophet.
Okay.
That goes to every Seder and has just a little taste of everybody's wine/grape juice.
Okay.
You let that's the tradition. Here's the thing. Elijah's a ghost. Does he really need you to open the door?
No.
No, he doesn't need you.
Everybody knows he's there.
Right, but you have to open the door. Here's the thing, though. There's millions of Jews. We're like roaches. We're all over the place. You can't kill us, though you've tried.
That's why the Catholics.
Yes, we're all over the place. It's not really possible for Elijah to be at every Seder around
him.
I'm calling bullshit on this tradition.
I am just like Santa.
No.
How can he get to every single home? How can he get to every home in that short amount of time?
Here's the difference.
Just like Elijah. It's, you know.
Here's the difference, though. Here's the difference. Santa is for children.
Yes.
Elijah is for everyone. So, you know, like adult Christians go, you know what? It's a little much. The fat man's not coming down the chimney. It just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It does, and we don't have a chimney. We live in a basement apartment. There's really no way he's getting in.
He's coming through the window.
No, because there's bars on the window. Santa's not. I mean, you know, you live in the city.
He's magical.
That's what you have to go to. But adult Jews of the religious persuasion
believe in Elijah.
Yes, it's a little much. It's a little much.
Well, childhood to adulthood, different things you believe in.
I don't believe
in
anything.
Magical.
I don't believe in anything.
Well.
Do you believe anything?
I believe in certain things. I believe there is a God, but that's me. But okay. I don't talk about religion.
Okay. So then you would believe, if you were Jewish, then you would believe in Elijah.
Probably.
Okay.
So if I was raised that way to the core in what you're supposed to believe in, yes.
Okay. So then you would be a door opener.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, that's fine.
But I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, but Elijah's a prophet.
That's right.
But,
that's why there's a difference.
If you're Catholic, you do believe it. You believe in the Holy Ghost.
I do believe in the Holy Ghost, but not as like an apparition type thing.
What is he then?
To me, he's just somebody who's hanging out up there waiting for all of us to come.
So you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost just like
all hanging.
And the bleachers just waiting.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Maybe having a nosh, a little fiddle faddle, waiting for you to
die.
Wine. Why they have to drink, you know? All that drinking, you think they have a bad kidney or liver.
Exactly.
It's a little much.
Well.
It's a little much. But then again, they're spiritual beings. Maybe they can drink to the end. I don't know.
That's probably right.
So we're sitting there. The door bursts open. It is two of my sister-in-law's neighbors. I've never seen the burst open unless it's a sitcom. Like Kramer comes running through the front door in Seinfeld.
Yes.
You see it like in Three's Company. Like neighbors routinely walk through the front door in television. I've never witnessed this in person.
I've never seen it in person either.
It's jarring.
I can only imagine.
Don't you?
Especially if you're not expecting it.
Right. Right.
Is this in suburbia?
Yes, it's suburbia. It's in Teaneck. You know Teaneck.
Yes, I do.
You know Teaneck.
Right by me.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very jarring. And I think now it's a man and his wife. Usually you would think the wife would talk to the man and go, you know what, maybe we should knock.
I was just
going
to say a ding-dong? Or?
You can't ding-dong because it's the holiday.
Oh.
You can't ding-dong, but you can certainly knock.
Okay, but wait a minute. Aren't you and if I'm naive about this, I'm sorry. But in very religious homes, they're not allowed to open the door either.
No, they can open the door.
You can open the door.
You can open the door. Otherwise, you never get the services.
Okay. But you can't do light switches or electricity, stuff like that.
I'm glad you bring that up. I'm going to skip around. I'm glad you bring that up.
Okay.
So we're at the Seder.
Okay.
Yankees are playing. There's a lull in the action. We're waiting for food. I take out my phone to see a Yankee score. The wife is like, what are you doing? Don't check your phone. It's the Sabbath. I go, oh, really? So I guess you'll be walking back to New York since you don't want to ride in the car. So that was my way of a little shut the F up.
Yes.
It's like, really? You're going to.
You can, because you're not allowed to drive either, right?
Correct.
No driving, no electricity, no turning certain things on and off. Am I right?
That's why you have the timers. You have like timers to put on the.
Or apparently people who come and do things for you.
I've heard
of that too.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you can rent the Gentile.
Yes, you can.
You can. Which,
my friend's brother did it.
Yeah. You're not supposed to ask somebody else who's Jewish not to turn it on for you. But like if it was
like
dark
me.
Here. Yeah, like I could theoretically knock on your door. Denise, you know, I'd love to watch the ball game right now. Wouldn't you love to watch it?
So you can watch it as long as somebody else turns it on.
Yes.
It's interesting.
No, it's bullshit.
It is. I mean, yes, it is. It's a little ridiculous
much,
is what it is.
Which is why I say I don't buy into any of it.
Yes.
Because I'm not a person that likes hypocrisy.
You can try, but you can't.
Yeah, right. So I was like, you know what? Really? You're going to call bullshit on that? No. I'm going to check the Yankee score. There's a lull in the action. It's not like we're having horseradish
but
right
then
now.
Then again, you're not a very religiously practicing Jew because you work every Friday night.
Well, I'd like to work more Friday nights.
I know. wouldn't every comic?
Yes. Exactly. No, but yes. That, I mean, it's hard. There are some very religious Jews that do not take gigs on Friday nights.
I do know some.
But it's really hard to progress. Unless you're already a big star, it's hard to climb up the ladder and you go, you know what? Weekends, they don't really work for me.
Yes.
What do you have on a Wednesday?
Yes, because a Wednesday will sell out so much better than a Friday.
It's really hard to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not interested in making that sacrifice.
I don't blame you.
But, you know, I like.
Or is it more of an excuse not to?
No, I mean, I've already shunned it all. I'm a shunner. I've shunned it all.
So you're a bad Jew, like the bad Catholics.
I don't know if I'm a bad Jew. I'm a fairly decent human being. Fairly decent. So maybe that makes me a better Jew. I'm not a hypocrite.
True.
Maybe I'm a hypocrite, but I'm not bitching out people about looking at their phone when they're going to get a ride home. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? We drove down here, like, and not for nothing. The people in the house whose house Orthodox Jews do, they're on Facebook too during the Sabbath. You know, their little green lights on too.
There you go.
So enough.
So they're doing it.
Exactly.
Everybody's doing it and just not admitting it.
Right. I'm an admitter.
Yes.
I actually talk about this in my act. I haven't done it in a long time. But, you know, religion, whether it's Catholic, Judaism, mm-hmm. Muslim, for most of it really comes down to what are my neighbors going to say?
Mm-hmm.
That's you will do as much as you can get away with without being judged by
yes.
your neighbors or your congregation.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it really has nothing to do with the Holy Scripture, whether it be Jews or Christians. It really has nothing to do with that.
Nope.
No. Let's see. Oh, the neighbor.
In the eyes of others.
The neighbors are out of town. I guess I can drive this week. I mean, you know, it really comes down to that. And I'm not that way. I'm like, well, fuck it. I don't care what anybody thinks. You've known me long enough.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you've seen. I don't care, which we'll get to
yes.
shortly.
Yes.
So, I'm, you know, you believe in God. Joe believes in God, I think, more so now than he used to. But Pip and I don't. You know, I'm not saying there's a God. I'm not saying there's not a God.
Do you believe that there is something?
Like,
not necessarily a God. Do you believe that there is an afterlife?
I don't know.
Perhaps. Exactly.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Well, no, but no. People of divine faith will say they do. They,
yes, exactly.
They will say, if you have faith, you will say, no, I know, and they will live accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I don't know. I hope so. You know, I'm a decent human being. I hope so.
As do I.
I hope
we all hope, I
hope
think.
Hope it's all not based on wearing a yarmulke. Otherwise, I guess I'll be SOL. But
yes.
You know what? There'll be a lot of comics in hell, too, so I'll be fine.
Oh, I'm so going there, but...
Yeah, so you book a club, it'll be good times.
I will be down there with many of people.
Exactly, so it's fine. I don't know. But anyway, so the door bursts open, and I've never seen this. No knock. I think you have to knock.
I believe you have to knock, and if not a knock, a kick or something, just a noise or a stamp in the foot if you're not allowed to do that.
The burst open, and the long black Jewy winter trench coat type thing, mm-hmm. with the Jewy hat, mm-hmm. with the wife behind and everything. Now, I don't know if this guy was born in the area.
Uh-huh.
I feel like he was born in New York, but grew up in Brooklyn, so picked up that like accent that they all have, which like, you know, that doesn't sound New York. What is that?
Exactly. But, are you talking, what is it, Bed-Stuy, New York?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? Is that
when they all talk in that Jewy way, not in the Woody Allen Jewy way, but like where they know like Yiddish or something. Like,
yes.
Yiddish is the first language.
Yes.
Seems like a nice enough guy.
Exactly.
But he bursts in. And he's holding court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's talking to my sister-in-law, and everybody's just like staring at him. I just thought it was very weird.
That is weird.
I think it's beyond weird.
The whole bursting.
Yeah, I don't think you burst. I don't think.
And what was there? Did they make an announcement, or did they just say hello?
I feel like
we're here.
Like in my head, it should have been hello, but it wasn't. But in my head, that's how that plays out. Like I feel like you need to come in with hello. Like,
I hear Kramer. Yes.
I feel like there should be some like tap dancing. I feel like there should be a floor show.
Yeah.
If you're going to burst in.
Exactly.
I don't feel like a burst and talk is a smooth transition.
No, if you're going to burst, it has to be a fantastic entrance.
Yes. As comics, you've seen enough comics. You know, you can tell who's got good transitions and
yes.
who doesn't. I think good transitions are important.
They are very important.
If you're going to transition from outside to inside without being invited in like Elijah, you need to bring a little bit more to the table.
Exactly.
But he just starts a conversation with her
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the Seder.
That's weird.
Yeah. I thought so, too. And they were like, well, you know, we wanted to see if you guys needed anything,
mm-hmm.
which is very nice because my brother-in-law is in the hospital and everything. But I don't know. I kind of feel like a knock could have done that, too. You know?
Yeah, it could have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody wants your attention.
That's my son.
Is he okay?
I don't know.
He
just,
could.
He just answer for 2 seconds.
Just answer for 2 seconds? We could put him on the radio.
Oh, well, all right. Hold on. Let me.
I mean, if you want.
Let me...
I bet he needs to know how to make like grilled cheese or something stupid.
Probably.
We're now talking to Denise's son on the radio.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Really quick, what do you need? What? What? No, 7 o'clock. I'm not going to get a discussion on this. I'm on the radio, okay? Goodbye. 7 o'clock. Goodbye. No, because I'm not with you. Goodbye. Goodbye. There we go.
And that's parenting.
And that is exactly parenting. Plus a little more.
He could have been here. He could have been a partaker.
He could have been here. He definitely,
he chose not to.
No, exactly. No, well, so.
So when you went to, where'd you go? Dumont Public School? Dumont Elementary School?
Not elementary. I grew up in South Jersey.
Okay. Did not know that.
Yes.
Were there Jewish kids?
There was no Jewish people in the town that I lived in.
So I'm going to talk about something that you're not even going to relate to.
I am from just a small little town in South Jersey, exit 72 off the parkway called Forked River.
Oh, I know Forked River.
Okay.
By the way, very stupid way to say that town's name.
I know, because everybody thinks it's Forked, but it's not. It's Forked River.
Yeah, why is it Forked?
I don't know. I didn't name it. I just lived there. And then I moved up here in seventh grade or eighth grade, and then graduated Dumont High School.
Okay.
Barely.
So then, what I'm about to talk to you really had no experience with this.
With what?
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you.
The Jewish people?
No, in the elementary school.
No.
See, because here's the thing. As an Orthodox Jew, growing up, that's mm-hmm. what I was. I went to public school, which is very rare for an Orthodox Jew to go to public school.
It's very rare. All three of my children had none of them in their classes.
Right. No, because you Orthodox Jews usually go to yeshivas.
Correct.
I was an Orthodox Jew who did not want to go to yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
I had already made friends, so I went there. So here's the thing. Passover is 8 days. Like, people know, like, the first two nights it's the Seder. But no, Jews, we like to drag shit out.
Yeah. Hanukkah, 8 days.
If you've ever dealt with a Jew, it's never a quick process.
Mm-hmm.
Even a simple conversation is very long. That's why we do a 3-plus-hour show.
Because
I can't do it in 45 minutes.
Every phone conversation we have is over an hour.
I don't want to take sole responsibility for that.
No, that's a mutual.
Yes. But so Jews cannot do anything quickly, and I think it stems from our holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So which means, unless it happens to be over spring break, we are going to school, elementary school as the case were, during Passover. There are certain restrictions on Passover, like you can't eat bread.
Okay.
Didn't you know that?
No, I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't eat bread?
That's the whole unleavened bread. Yeah, that's why we're eating matzah.
All right.
Yeah, you can't eat bread.
So, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why you have bullshit like macaroons all of a sudden in ShopRite. You know, that's why you have that.
That's where the matzahs come out. Yes, okay.
Yeah, it's not like we're making a choice. No,
makes sense now.
It does.
This is from me not growing up with
right.
Jewish
people. Well, I'm explaining.
Okay.
So also around Passover, as the Last Supper would have it, is Easter.
Yes.
So you have like kind of a conflict here. You got the Jewish kids who have restrictions on what they're allowed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Christian kids who have jelly beans, chocolate bunnies, and peeps.
Correct.
And leftover Easter, because you guys have a big Easter feast, a lot of families.
Correct.
So here's
but that's because he rose again.
Yes, I understand. And I put on Facebook, I don't know if you saw, but if Jesus were alive today, he would be doing a Viagra commercial.
That's good, but I just found out why there's candy on Easter. Which I never knew.
Marketing.
No, it's because of the fact that during Lent the, during the Lenten time, most people give up things, and even at some, I don't remember what year, I read an article about it, that, you know, chocolate was like the number one thing that people gave up.
Oh, they're all women on their periods? Was that what it was?
Probably. It's either that or salt. So.
Oh, you're a salt. You like salt.
No,
oh.
Not me, but a lot of women, it's sweet and salty,
yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is. So, and that's why. So at the end of Lent, it's the celebration of that. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Interesting.
I'm such a bad Catholic.
I've done it in your club. I haven't done it in a while. You go, yeah. When I talk about Lent, I love a great tradition. Give up things to love or addicted to. I just wish the priest would give up little boys. Anyway, I did not do
don't
that.
Don't we all?
I did not do that one this year. And I feel like talking about priests touching kids would make my act dated. Because as we've learned, there's so many other people touching kids.
Nowadays there are.
Yeah, and yes. You know me, I'm always like to write. So, that, you know, priest touching kids has been put on the back burner.
Yeah, that's not as important anymore.
Well, I mean, it's still important, but...
It's...
So anyway, worlds collide. So you got the leftovers of the Easter feast and all the candy.
Yes.
And you got me strolling in with gefilte fish. Gefilte fish is... yes, this is the... Denise.
No, I just think of somebody who does a bit. Bob Nelson.
Bob Nelson has a gefilte fish bit?
Totally.
I've never worked with him. I was supposed to work with him for you. He wouldn't work with me.
Why wouldn't he work? Oh, because he brings a feature, I think. I think he brought a feature. Yeah. No, he does this whole thing, but...
You're acting out on the radio.
I am acting out because
Denise is like fanning her hands like the flippers.
He blows bubbles and he goes like this and he sucks in all the bubbles and he goes, "What kind of fish can you have? I'm at the bottom of the tank. You're a gefilte fish." It's a stupid bit, but it's hilarious.
Okay.
It makes you remember.
Okay.
It's a Bob Nelson bit.
No, that's
that's what I think of with gefilte.
Here's the thing. Have you ever had gefilte?
Didn't even know it was a real fish.
It's not a real fish.
Okay.
Gefilte is not. What gefilte is, it's a mashup of like other fish, other cheap fish like carp.
Okay. I don't do anything from the ocean, so.
It's not from the ocean. It's not a real fucking fish.
I don't do any fish.
Well, right. But I'm saying it's not even a real fish. But even people who like gefilte, it's a tough sell. Even people who like gefilte, you have gefilte.
It's almost
as
like liverwurst to me. Then.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's like gefilte is like an appetizer before you get to something better.
Is there something better? Because we know that Jewish food isn't the most appetizing.
Oh, that's not true. You like bagels.
Oh, bagels, yes. Yes.
Have you ever had stuffed cabbage?
I don't do cabbage. No. I don't do a lot of food.
We
so
do corned beef and pastrami way better.
I do corned beef.
Not the
Jewish people can really do a great corned beef.
Yes.
Lean, greasy, the Irish.
Yeah, the Jews are fine with food. We're going to get some food. But gefilte is not a strong representative.
No.
But you're coming in, so the kid's eating like a thick ham sandwich or pizza or whatever they're eating, and you're coming in with like a gefilte fish.
Kids are eating pizza at the Seder? No.
No, I'm talking about in school.
Oh, in school. Well, okay.
Like for lunch.
Okay. That's right, we're in school.
Yeah, and you're coming in with like a gefilte fish. And like, how do you, it's mashed up of other fish. It's not really a real fish. Oh, yeah, and they make it, and then they preserve it in this nice viscousy gel.
So are we talking massive bullying?
No bullying. It's just very hard.
I can only imagine.
So say you don't bring the gefilte. Say you're going to go matzah. Here's the thing about matzah. Not a very bendy thing.
No.
Matzah is quick to crumble. Matzah cannot even withstand the pressure of a bite. But you can't just like you can't like really make a matzah sandwich.
No.
So you have to have like a lunch starter kit, like Lunchables before there were Lunchables. So you got your matzah wrapped up.
Yes.
And then say you got like some tuna fish in a Tupperware from like 20.
But you can't have dairy and meat together, am I correct?
Correct. But tuna's okay. Tuna.
Okay. Okay.
So I couldn't.
So like no ham and cheese in the middle.
Well, right. We would never have the ham, but you could have
tuna. Oh, that's right. That's because it's a pork.
Right. You'll get it. You'll get it.
I do get it sometimes.
Yes.
Yes.
We need Bob Nelson to school you more on Judaism.
It's just a sad thing sometimes, though, that you can't even eat a pork. So no bacon.
No, I've had turkey bacon.
Okay.
I like turkey bacon.
All right. Okay.
The wife and kid like regular bacon. I won't eat it. All right. There's no good reason for it.
Well, you've never eaten it your whole life.
Right, but it looks delicious and it smells pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm religious. So really, it's just stupidity.
It's just like I, can't eat peanuts. They look delicious and they smell great, but I can't eat them.
You can't eat peanuts?
No.
Are you allergic?
No, diverticulitis.
Oh, okay.
No nuts, no seeds.
You know, Walt has that too. It must be something in the comedy industry.
I don't know.
I didn't even know what that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It infiltrates the pockets in your intestines.
Sounds terrible.
It's horrible. It's very painful.
You know, be good to that? A little gefilte fish?
Maybe.
I feel like that would fill the little
maybe
crevices.
It would ease all that pain away.
I feel like the gel would just make everything slide through. I really feel like gefilte
is
in your
future.
That is
a nice coating. So...
That too.
Yes.
So, all right. So say you're going to bring the matzah. Say you're going to have the matzah. Yeah, you can't have a pre-made matzah sandwich.
Because it'll crumble with the tuna fish.
Exactly. So now you got to bring the matzah. So now you got to open up the Tupperware. You got to put the tuna fish on the matzah. And you put another piece of matzah on top to make it a sandwich.
Such meanwhile, an ordeal to make sandwich at school.
Yes, because lunch is almost over.
Yes.
Lunch is almost over at this point. So you finally make this stupid tuna matzah sandwich. It looks good. You take a bite. Boom! It's in your lap.
It's crumbling.
It's wrong.
Use a fork at that point.
Yeah.
And of course, the school is not helping your situation by offering you other things to eat.
No, there's no. I have to bring from home. They're not having the kosher for Passover.
No, they're not.
All right. So you know what? I've given up on lunch.
Okay.
We're just going to get to
skip the lunch for the 5 days you're in school.
Yeah. I'm just going to go to dessert. You guys are eating jelly beans.
Yeah.
And Peeps.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I really should have gone to CVS today. I fucked up.
Half Price?
Yeah. That's my thing.
That's
my jam.
Thing.
That's my jam.
Get your Easter candy after Easter.
I got that joke. Got that joke. But
there's a couple.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. So you guys are having that. What are we eating? Macaroons.
So a macaroon is a coconut-based thing. Am I correct?
It is. I have macaroons.
No, I don't eat coconut.
Macaroons are fine.
But I hear that they're delicious if you get them at the right place.
Macaroons are fine.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Macaroons are very dry.
And they're not sweet.
I mean, no, they have all different flavors.
Oh, okay.
They have like Rocky Road and chocolate chip.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's all sorts of flavors. Also, but chances are you used all your beverage for your dry matzah sandwich.
Yes.
So now you have nothing. But I mean, a macaroon doesn't even compare to a peep.
It really doesn't.
It's like we're getting fucked.
And a peep that's been left open overnight is even better.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a little
firm.
Just getting stale. Just starting on its staleness.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Now let's think about why the Jews have to eat the matzah.
Why?
Well, because God took the Jews from Egypt, the Exodus, mm-hmm. and the bread did not have time to rise. So
okay.
that's why they had to leave quickly. That's how the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You're God. I don't know. Can't you wait 20 minutes?
Exactly.
I mean, you're raining frogs and locusts and blood. I mean, really? Can't mm-hmm. go, you know what? Let me give him another 20 minutes for the bread to rise.
Exactly.
I feel like it's a little bullshit.
Second time you're calling bullshit.
I'm calling.
Are you going to call bullshit on the oil in the lantern for Hanukkah also?
Well, let's get through this holiday.
Right? Isn't that it was supposed to only last for one night, yet it lasted seven?
Here's the thing.
Right?
Have you ever driven on empty in your car?
No, I can't. Yeah. I would have palpitations.
Well, once it gets to E, you got another 30, 40 miles.
Do you?
Sure.
I would never know.
It's the same principle.
Okay.
It's like you're on E, but you... Oh, I shouldn't
all
be
right.
able to go... That's what I'm calling on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, you know, God's going to make them wander in the desert mm-hmm. for a bunch of years. They're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. By the way, a little much. A little more.
It's a long time.
I mean, you're rescuing people from Egypt. No fucking sense of direction?
None. Well, you know, there were no cell phones and navigation.
You got God. You got God. He created the world. He knows where everything is.
He knows which way the sun rises and sets.
Every inch. He created everything. Yes. He can't go, psst, Moses, make it right. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, he's an infallible God. Maybe he's a little fallible.
Yeah.
I feel like God is played by Dick Van Dyke. He's lovable, but he's tripping over shit. Like I kind of feel
yes,
that
way. Yes.
And no religion will give you a fallible God.
Yes.
I'm giving you fallible God.
I am going to agree with you on that one.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah. I'm just saying, you're rescuing. And by the way, why are you rescuing?
I'm just looking.
No, the Yankees are winning. That's good. Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the whole premise about Passover, and I call bullshit on this at the Seder.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal is, he makes with, I think it's Abraham's sons, I'm not a biblical scholar, that you're going to go to Egypt, and you're going to be servants there for 400 years, and then I will rescue you. That's the deal he makes.
Okay.
Fine. He makes that deal. Egyptians don't know about that deal.
No?
They weren't consulted on the deal. That's your deal. Fine. All right. Why do you got to kill every fucking Egyptian? You made the deal. The Egyptians never said, hey, we'll be placeholders and kill our ancestors. They never said that. They had no idea.
They had no clue.
I mean, lots of people are bowing to other gods.
Mm-hmm.
But you're punishing them because they enslaved the Jews? It was your deal.
Yeah.
It's a little bullshit.
It's a lot of bullshit in your religion.
It's
a lot of bullshit in every religion.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, it's a little much.
Yeah.
I feel like the Egyptians were done dirty.
They were.
Yeah.
They were.
I mean, and the firstborn, it's a little much.
Yeah.
You're killing babies? Yeah. You got time to kill babies. You don't have time to let the bread rise. Where are your priorities?
Exactly.
I don't think – you know what? Let's leave a couple babies alive and let's raise some bread. Because if you let the bread raise, I can have a decent sandwich on Passover.
Just going to say, Passover would be better.
Exactly. It would be pizza over. You know, you could have pizza.
Yeah.
I used to have the joke. I don't even tell it. Passover is like when, you know, it's about the Exodus. That's when Jews get the Chinese food to go.
Exactly.
Whatever. It's not a joke, but whatever. Figure I'd try stuff on you. Why not make you suffer through it? So I have issues with the holidays. But you're agreeing with me. There's some bullshit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm agreeing.
All right. So I guess now we'll get to the crux. Well, what did you do for Easter? Did you do anything?
No, I didn't do anything. No. It was a beautiful day. Walked.
That's nice. Well, your boys are too old for an Easter egg hunt.
No, but my neighbors had an Easter egg hunt in my yard.
Well, that's kind of like the walk-in. That's a little much.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. I enjoy my neighbors. I love them dearly, and there's a lot of little children in their family.
Yeah, but did they ask?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Then it's not the walk-in.
And the ducks in the pool made it that much better. There's ducks in the pool.
Whose pool?
Mine.
Like real ducks?
It's real ducks. Same two come back every year.
Oh, that's their vacation place.
I don't know what it is, but they're there.
Your house is like the Poconos for them. They have a little goose doing
every year they come back.
A couple minutes on the deck of the pool.
Till you start pouring the chlorine in, they're there.
Oh, they'll stay in the chlorine. They don't stay in the chlorine?
No.
Oh, there's smart ducks.
No, because I hit it really hard when I open it, so it really is.
Oh, it smells too much.
Yeah, and they're
it smells like a bathhouse.
Yeah.
Clarini. You know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So did nothing for Easter.
No.
So you're not even a Christmas Easter Catholic.
No. I try to get to church on those high holidays, but you know, Saturday nights are late and tiring.
Yeah, but don't they have services at all different times?
Latest one is noon.
You can't make noon?
No, it's really hard.
You're a late sleeper.
I am I work late.
Yeah, but so do I. I don't sleep late.
Oh, I sleep late. On Sunday mornings, I sleep late.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that must be nice.
It's one day of the week I try to sleep late.
Well, I mean, listen, who are you cheating but God?
And especially that there's no dog that I have to get up and give shots to, sleeping late.
That's true. I mean, listen, it's only God.
This is true.
He understands.
This is true.
He understands. So, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm not a great guy. I didn't say I was a great Catholic.
I'm going to say you're not really Catholic.
Oh, well. Yeah,
I think you're just taking it in name. You're just hedging your heaven bets. I think that's what that is.
Well, I already told you I'm going to hell.
Yeah, but you don't really think that. If you were going to hell, you would party a lot harder.
Yeah.
You would. I mean, you don't really think you're going to hell. You're kind of hedging your bets on the afterlife.
Yes. So. This is interesting.
Is everything okay?
Watson Uber. And I'm not saying yes.
Is he? But he's home.
No, he's not, apparently.
Oh. He's supposed to be home.
Yes.
And he's far away from home.
I don't know where he is.
You know what's with it? Was he 14?
Yeah.
You know what we did? We fucking rode our bicycles or we walked.
I know. No, he didn't. Your card.
He wants your card.
That's my card number.
Wow. I'll tell you what. Your kid's got some cojones.
Yes, he does. Hence the reason he is what he is.
I'm
not
going
to get into that.
No, well, I mean, you can. You're free to, but.
No, he's just a troubled child.
I gotcha. And he's in more trouble now because he can't get an Uber.
Yeah. Yeah. He has to walk. Well, yeah, I walked everywhere for miles when I was a kid.
That's what we did.
Miles and miles and miles.
Or you hung out with older kids.
True.
Who had a car.
True.
And if you were a girl, it was certainly a lot easier to hang out with older kids than it was if you were a boy.
Exactly.
Because 17-year-olds like 15-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Boys like 15-year-old girls.
Yes.
They're not conquered yet. I'm guessing. Not that I would know anything about conquering.
All right. And 15. I know where he is now.
Everything good?
Yeah.
I wonder where Joe is. Joe's hilarious. Joe always tells me he's going to be here by a certain time. He's never here by that time.
What is that?
That's the heating.
Oh.
Keeping you nice and toasty. Yeah, it doesn't come through on the air. It's all good. All right. Uh-oh, somebody's arguing. They got to go to Taekwondo upstairs.
Oh. Are those her belts?
Yeah, she's a black belt.
Really?
Yeah, she's been a black belt for a while.
Fantastic for her.
It is fantastic for her.
It is fantastic for her.
Little fucking ass kicker.
Right?
Well, except I always say if she got in a fight, she'd like do a slap fight. Like, I don't think she really comprehends how the knowledge that she possesses.
Yeah.
That she could, like, totally, like, you know, break somebody's larynx.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wish I had that skill set. I don't have that skill set. My skill set is stop being a dick or I'll make fun of you on my radio show.
Which but is, you can do that.
Which I'm about to do.
Exactly.
I'm actually about to do that. The question I will pose to you, since you are happen to actually be involved in this story, believe it or not.
Okay.
The question is, normally.
We're not naming names on this, are we?
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, should I name the
name? No.
Okay, well, not.
Nope. Well, I like my job.
Why would it hurt your job?
It's not something that I
do. Okay, we won't name it. We won't name the name.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair. I don't normally name the names anyway.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to name names. It's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dee. How's it going?
I'm good. How are
let,
you?
Let Joe settle in. Joe's settling in for the good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, look at this. No, please, now.
She's having son issues.
I'm having child issues.
Oh, boy.
Hi, sweetie. Bye. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
So, Joe, we're not going to name the comedian who I had the issue with, but we are going to cover that story now.
Yeah.
I didn't get to do it last week because, you know, Pip dominated the first segment of the show with a very interesting story about her brother.
Right.
So interesting that she couldn't possibly come back for 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
God for Pip is like a Mets starter. You see them occasionally. You know, you can't really count on
or,
Pip every
or a Jets then. Quarterback. Who's this coming out?
No, we know who Pip is. Yeah. No. Pip is your Matt Harvey. A lot of promise. Happy to have Pip when she's here. You're not going to get back-to-back starts out of Pip anymore. Yeah, right. That's
exactly.
That's what I'm saying about that. Ooh, somebody hit a home run. Who hit a home run, Joe? The cheering. I don't know.
Yes, hit a home run.
Yep. Yeah, right. All right. So, a couple of weekends ago, and Joe is a little bit privy to this, Denise is sort of privy to this too, but she doesn't know everything that transpired. So,
no, I don't.
No. Because there were stuff. You saw what happened Saturday evening.
Correct.
You don't know what transpired necessarily before that.
Correct.
So I will catch up. So I'm working with a comedian who has multiple Emmys writing for a
major show.
A major show that had topical events. I don't normally get to see these type of comedians, so I'm looking forward to seeing somebody with these type of chops just to watch them. You know, because it's the type of comedy I enjoy. You know, I'm thinking we're going to get some topical stuff, some new stuff, some really smart stuff. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know who this comic is. I've heard the name. That's what I'm thinking I'm going to see. I'm also thinking, well, it should be a good weekend for me because that audience will probably dig the direction my act has gone into.
Correct.
Because my act is certainly, I mean, you've seen it. I think it's really evolved over the years, the type of things I'm talking about now on stage. So I'm much more of a current event type of comic, for better or worse. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Now, this comic and myself have a mutual friend, Walt, who comes on our show, mm-hmm. owner of Joker's Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. Walt wants to come with me to the show. He hasn't seen this comic in a while. So, all right, Walt, come on down with me. So I walk in with Walt. Walt says hello to Denise. They know each other. Go into the back area. It's not really a green room. It's a catering area. It's a catering area.
It's our makeshift green room.
It is what it is. It's fine. It's lovely.
Works.
Exactly, right?
Nice place to sit.
Sure. There's chairs. Who am I to complain?
Right.
You get exactly. a free meal. Come on.
I do, and I like the food. I'm very
happy. There you
go. I'm very happy. I'm not bitching about that at all. So Walt introduces us.
Yeah.
Shake hands. And he had just been on Anthony Cumia's radio show. And now Anthony and this comedian have a history, which I'm not going to go through now. Anthony can go through that history. I don't need to go through that history. It's been a checkered history, but now they're on good terms.
Right.
Yes. That's what I hear, right?
That's, yes. And
so
that's...
for some reason, we Anthony's fans come up. Anthony Cumia's fans
right.
come up. We certainly have a history with those fans.
Right.
Probably not a great history. Probably like.
Well, me a little bit better.
They hoped you had a stroke. I don't. Is that really better?
Yeah, well, I told him. What I told him was, I go, don't start making wishful thinking.
Yes, but that's not really better. They're wishing.
Why
you
don't
dead.
They like you? What did you do?
I don't know. There was one show.
He's
they
not
said,
Anthony.
There was one show they wanted me to drop dead of a stroke, and I started saying, "Too late to make friends."
Is this on Anthony's newer show or
this, O&M? No, this was at the compound when it was at the compound live at the compound.
Okay.
Yeah, all when right. we did a show from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe, all for right. whatever reason, has not gotten the full Anthony blessing from the fans for whatever reason. Even though by all rights he should. He should because he's got some of the longest history. But whatever. That's neither here nor there.
Yes.
I mean, we were in the chat room and you know, when we were at Anthony's and my parents looked in and there was a line of swastikas going down the chat room and I suggested to my folks they probably should not watch the show any longer.
It's a tough room.
Yeah, I mean, they used to eviscerate Pip. I mean, Joe was shell-shocked from there at times. I pretty much dealt with it once. Like, I just ripped into them
so
once.
So these are the fans. These are the...
These are Anthony's fans.
Which are called...
pests.
Pests.
That's right.
These are the pests.
Okay.
Unless you're like Anthony and select few, they're going to be dicks. That's just kind of what it is.
They are. And they're very good at what they do. Look at all the websites that they shut down when they were on O&A.
Yeah, you know, the pests were
again. Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're amazing.
All the radio DJs.
You know what they can't do? They can't get a major corporation to keep your fucking job.
No.
They can't do that.
No, they can't. Nope.
But
that's where it stops.
Yeah. So they have powers, but they're limited.
Yes.
So he says, because he was just on the show.
Right.
I was just on Anthony's show. He goes, you know, I don't even check my Twitter feed after I go on the show. Mm. He's like, it's gotten better, but even if I see two negative things, that's too much. I'm thinking two negative things. I mean, you're a fucking comic. We hear negative shit all the time.
Yeah, really?
And you're going on that for it. Well, I went on with you. I wasn't even that liberal and I got fucking...
Let me tell you something. It was one time I was talking to Ant. I go, yeah, boy, oh boy. Thank God they're not bad with me on Reddit. And he goes, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty nasty.
Exactly. But I thought, if you're down to two bad comments, you're doing okay.
Yeah, right.
Who cares about... I thought, well, that's a little sensitive, Sally. But all right. So, right before I'm about to go on, Walt says, the comic doesn't want you doing crowd work. I'm like, huh? Well, Denise didn't say anything to me. And then Denise calls me and goes, don't do any crowd work. I go, okay.
Because I was asked to tell you guys.
Yeah, right. Right. But I didn't think much of it because there wasn't really time for a conversation.
I didn't think much of it either.
So, I go, and I said, okay.
I got a show to run. I got people to see.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the extent.
Right.
Nobody understood the extent.
When a comic, you know, when a headliner asks as a GM, you know, this is what I, you know, would prefer.
Right,
we'll get
right.
into this also because I had a conversation with them.
Do. Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah, you got to
because they're the headliner. So go ahead. Go on.
Right.
Continue.
So I go, okay. And I actually cut down the crowd work I was going to do
right.
quite a bit that night. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I always like to do material first anyway. But somebody yelled something out at me. So I addressed that. Mm-hmm. I talked to their family. And then I worked it into material. Mm-hmm. That was really, and there was another woman who I, you know, just a couple quick comments. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, you both see me go into tangents where I could do a whole show on tangents.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing that.
Right.
You know, I'm like, all right, you know what, I respect, whatever, not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal. So I do that, fine, everything's fine. He's doing his thing. He's got people on stage, which I've never really seen except if we're doing the arms.
Right.
I've never really seen comedians bring people on stage for that. And he's like playing a game, guess their job, guess their ethnicity. Like, okay. I mean, that's kind of what we would call filler.
Yeah.
You know, but this is like 20, 25 minutes. I'm not really paying attention. I just hear Denise go, if I'd known he was going to do this much crowd work, I never would have booked you with him. And again, it didn't really register with
me.
Eat my stupid food. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But, you know, I'm not really stepping on this guy's jam. Over here, mm-hmm. he's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did my thing. He also had notes on stage. What do you think of that?
I did not notice that.
Oh, yes. At one point, I don't remember which show it was because he was skipping around so much. He goes, oh, I got to see where I am because I jump around so much. And I'm
not
thinking,
a fan of that at all.
No, this is a professional stage.
No, I'm not a fan of that at all.
And I'm thinking,
even at an open mic or something, I'm not a fan of it. If you don't know your act, then you don't know your
at
act.
At a mic, maybe.
Maybe.
You know, if you're going over new stuff, because that's why you're there. But when it's prime time, you got to be. No, there's no notes.
No. And you, in my opinion, because I skip around a lot, and once in a while, I do forget where I am. But I'll just go, I'll ask the audience.
Yeah, but you want to know something? There are times where if you go on stage and you have something that's 25 back, but you ask a person a question and it's relatable,
right?
You bring that 25 up and you figure it out in the fly. You know what? It's your job. You're a professional entertainer.
Right. I don't think you can use, hey, I'm doing crowd work as an excuse to forget where I am. No, you're supposed to know.
Yeah.
You're supposed to figure it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I said, once in a while, nobody's perfect. Once in a while, I go, well, what was I talking about? And the audience will tell me, and boom, I'm
going.
Right. But I would never think of bringing notes to Denise's stage.
Right.
Like that. And I know how to do it discreetly, too. Like where you put it underneath your water bottle and you just write it in.
Yeah.
These are pieces of paper.
You don't address it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So whatever. So he has a good show. He does well.
You all had a good show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So afterwards, this comic, Walt, and myself.
And this is Friday night.
Oh, you guys went into the bar afterwards.
Right.
I went home.
Yeah, we all had a beer together. We're having a nice time.
So apparently I missed something.
Well, no, I'll tell you. No, we had a nice time.
Okay.
We're talking about podcasting and radio. And we're talking about stand-up comedy, of course. And I say, you know, a major chain that he works for. I go, you know, they don't really put strong features in there because they don't want them to overshadow their acts. I go, because they could really put road headliners in there. Road headliners would take that. And this is an A chains.
Mm-hmm.
Road headliners would take that work because it's more than they normally make.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't think so. They wouldn't take that work. I'm like, it's been a long time since you've been a road headliner.
Yeah.
But he goes, but whatever. So I was like, okay, fine. Perfectly lovely time, the three of us. Go home, driving home with Walt. And normally I wouldn't even say what I'm about to say because I'm just not that type to say it, but I'm going to say it because it bears into, I think, what happened later on. So Walt goes, and you know Walt. He's quick to fucking bust my balls.
Yeah.
He don't want to give me props.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Walt goes, I think you had the better set than the other guy. You had more belly laughs. I go, oh, okay, thanks. That was it. Because mm-hmm. I don't really get hung up on that stuff. It's all subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I really don't. Whatever. So it's like about 12:15. I'm sitting on that couch over there watching some TV. I get a text from Walt. Hey, are you up? I go, yeah, I'm up. I'm like, what are we going to talk about now? Are you up? So he calls me up. Just got off the phone with the comedian. See, you didn't know this.
I did not know this.
Right.
If you're upset.
Well, hold on. Let me get to it. And then just got off the phone. Make sure you get the cat litter.
The text isn't going through.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm just going to go over there. I'm just going to see if it goes ahead.
Just got off the phone with the other comedian.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you doing crowd work. I go, I didn't really do crowd work. I go, I did a lot less than I normally do. He goes, yeah, I told him you did a lot less. I go, listen, Davin really cut it back. He did a lot less, but he doesn't want you doing any crowd work. And I said, well, if he had a problem, the time to tell me this problem would have been when we were having a beer. Face to face, if he goes, listen, if you could do me a favor, not for I wouldn't be thrilled, but if you have the conversation with me, man to man, I might just go, fine, whatever, dude. I'm already going to lose respect for you, but I'm not going to make a scene.
And the thing about it is, if you're saying something, somebody yells something out, what are you supposed to do? Just ignore it?
Which is essentially what he wants me to do.
Right.
He wants me to ignore it. But I'm upset that he's now put Walt in this position, that he's such a little...
Yeah, that's not...
You didn't know this.
No, I did not know
that. That he's such a little bitch, this guy. We're having beers, friendly. He could have... The time to say something would have been, while we're having beers, listen, man, you had a great set, blah, blah, blah. If you could do me a favor, please don't talk to the crowd at all.
You want
to say... That would have been the time.
And there was... It's funny because I always say... You know, I always like, you know, just to air things out, just... There's a comic I work with about maybe over 10 years ago. It was a Sunday one-nighter, and he rubbed me the wrong way. You know,
just, you get along with everybody.
Right. He was the one
guy. Except your wife.
Well, but he was the one guy that I really didn't, you know, I really did. But I really didn't have, you know, I really didn't.
No, but comics love you.
But still, yeah. I really, except JJ. But anyway.
Well, you got, did you see what I put on?
Wait, I had enough of you.
Huh? No, the other one.
Oh, no.
Long Island one.
No.
All right. But this other comic, it was...
No, that JD didn't try to hump Joe against the refrigerator. They're fine.
Okay.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, he
only
goes after ladies.
Yeah. well, a little short story.
Have you seen Joe in a dress?
There was one time when I was with my wife and she wanted to come to the club and JJ was working there and I'm like, she goes, can I go? No. And she goes, why? I'm going to be 20 minutes to pry him off you.
No.
Funny.
He walks in, sees a new person, a new waitress. I'm like, don't. I don't know. I just see his eyes. I see, don't. Don't talk to her. Don't go near
don't.
Her.
Don't.
You know what you're going to do.
Hysterical.
Yes.
Bad comedian.
Hysterical. All right, so but even though I wound up working with him again probably about 6 months ago. And I said, you know, I got not for nothing. I go, there was that one night you were with your girlfriend at another con. And I thought it might have upset you. You're pissed at me. He goes, oh, that. He goes, I was miserable at everything, dude. If I offended you, man, I'm sorry. You know, we had a great night and stuff. You know, see, even then, you know, you just sit, if there's something on your mind is what I'm getting, mention it.
But here's the thing, though. Here's my policy with this. Because very often, I'm in the last spot on the show. And there'll be a comic who has something similar, maybe, to me. I never ask them to cut out a joke, which is still bad, but let alone change their style. It'd be like, Joe and I go on the road quite a bit. It'd be like if I go, you know what, Joe? I'm feeling a little under the weather tonight. Can you go with less energy? No, no. Energy is part of what Joe's act is. It's part of who he is on stage. It's not my job to take that tool away from him. Mm-hmm. It's my job to figure out what I'm going to do with what I'm coming to the table.
Yeah, because basically we're very close friends, but when it's showtime, battle on.
Right.
Battle stations, you know. You'll have the better set,
Here's the gig. Denise is the booker. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. But my thinking is, if you're on later on the show, so if you're the feature or you're the headline, you're supposed to be the better comic than the person on before you, even though you may not be. In theory, you are. You're supposed to have more material. So it's wrong to ask somebody lesser to take something out because they might not have the tool chest. That's the way I've always approached it. Mm-hmm. Is that something you agree with?
I do agree with it. The only thing, and here is where it comes in, because I after that night, after you had left, I had mentioned to him very nicely that his request is something that we should be advised of prior to a show.
Mm-hmm.
I said this to you also.
Right.
That is something that I would have altered it. Instead of having to go through this animosity.
Which we haven't even gotten to yet.
Exactly.
It gets better.
It does. But his response to me saying that was, can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay, I just didn't know if I could or I could.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. So he says it's no different than a headliner asking somebody before him not to use the word fuck.
He said that to me too, by the way.
And I said, no, that is different. I said, because you can replace fuck, just a singular word, with another singular word. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it be farkin or
frickin,
damn, or,
whatever.
You know, whatever. Yeah. Anything you want to use in that case. But you can't, it's harder and not as good to tell an act prior to you to change their act, which is essentially what he wanted you to do.
Which
and
is
I
the
told him,
mm-hmm.
I said, had I known this, and what sucks is for a feature is, yes, I would have taken you off the show. I would have given you another date and said, there might be a conflict here for everybody.
Wouldn't
better.
Be the first time.
Exactly.
And you've been kind to me to let me switch things out too.
Exactly.
So it's fine.
Exactly. But it's just, it would make it better because
right.
I don't want animosity. Like
plus,
happened
you want, plus
that
you want
night.
All your acts going at 100%. You
yes.
want your audience
yes.
getting the
yeah,
best.
Yeah, because
of
you don't
show.
Want to tame
I
down your
put somebody on that show that doesn't say a word.
Correct.
To anybody in the audience. And also, you know, again, saying this to the people at the club, most MCs' job as an MC mm-hmm. of a show is to engage
correct.
With the audience who's celebrating a birthday. You know,
yes.
whatever the celebration is, talking to the audience, acknowledging them.
Certainly an aspect
so,
of their job.
So the others don't really have to.
Right.
Which is, I don't want to say every show, but the way most shows go, there's not much engagement with a headliner unless they call for it.
Right.
This specific headliner, I did not realize, does this engaging. I do now. This will never happen again.
I think for many reasons.
Just, I will, like I said, next time I will book somebody who doesn't, you know, but that could have been a real double whammy. That MC could have, you know, there are MCs out there that's all they know how to do.
Absolutely.
Is just the crowd work because they're starting out or, you know, don't have as many years under their belt or whatever it may be. And, you know, they could have, the whole thing could have went awry. It just, so I did have a word with them. I don't think he was happy with what I said, but I said, in all fairness, that is something that you should tell us.
Right.
So this could have been avoided.
So, Walt's like, well, I understand it. Because he's the headliner, I gave the theory that I just said about being
right.
less one. I go, the only exception to this I could think of is if, say, you're Seinfeld or something, where people are specifically coming to see you.
Right.
If they are specifically coming to see you and you don't, first of all, this would be addressed way beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, all right, you want it tailored to your certain way. Well, that was not the case with this comedian. We were in a small room,
mm-hmm.
the very, very small room on Friday night.
It's not very, very small.
It's 56.
I've been in smaller clubs.
For your club, it's very small. Because on Saturday, the first show, we had a very, very nice crowd.
It looks smaller than you think it is.
Well, that's why I tell women.
Was the room over by the bar or was the room farther?
In the back.
In the back, okay.
In the back. It's smaller than what you think it is.
Now, it was set up really well. I liked it. It felt really intimate. I liked it. My point
yes.
is, we're not talking about somebody who they have to add shows and they're selling.
Correct.
They're not.
Correct.
They're there because they're fans of comedy or they're fans of bananas.
Yeah.
They're not there. There might be some that are there to see
right.
a particular, but certainly not overwhelming desire to see any
right,
of us.
Right.
They're just there for a comedy show, which is different than when you're there to see somebody in particular.
Right. I got a question for you, Denise, too. Also, sometimes we always chat by the podium and stuff
always.
Like that. And, you know, you're very...
I thought the question was going to be like, do you have anything in the fall? I really thought that was going
to
be the question.
Actually, are you open this weekend?
No, I'm working
okay.
with the band.
So.
Fine. But you're very customer service oriented, you know,
thank
with the
you.
Clients. And you have a very big repeat business. So your patrons are of the upmost importance. Do you feel that, you know, if another the headliner is asking the feature to kind of tone it down, do you feel that in a sense it's doing a disservice to your patrons because the feature can't work at its optimum?
I do think in a sense, yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Not that they would know it or not unless they really know that.
Right.
And in your case, there were people that came to see you because, I mean, because you're from our area. Yeah. And
mom,
I know
your
that
mom and
were,
dad don't count.
They weren't
no,
there.
So.
They've been there in the past. Though. Shut up, Leo. Shut up. I'm going to fucking rewrite that script we're doing. You're going to dick the whole way through.
Oh,
I came up with a really good episode. Fuck you now. You get rewritten. We're going to talk about
see?
Somebody else's life.
Vengeance. But yes, to a certain point, Joe, I do agree with that.
And that was my thinking, too. You're booking. Your job
mm-hmm.
is to give your audience the best show possible.
Yeah.
My job.
Diversity.
Yes.
You know, different types of comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, that's what makes a good show. You don't want to see... You know, the same, like, say, deadpanning from every comedian.
Correct.
Right.
All right. So we're on the same page
yeah.
as that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this I have this conversation with Walt, and I'm upset by this whole thing.
You should be.
I'm upset
by
the
whole thing. Can't believe he called him.
What?
I said I can't believe he called him.
Yeah, right. So now it's giving you a little bit more. This is stuff because I really didn't want
to know. And you want to know something? And the thing that this comic doesn't think of, he's also bitching and moaning to Walt. What's going through Walt's head? Like, do I got to deal with this when he comes to me?
Did Walt book him?
Well, yeah. Walt can't afford him.
Oh,
I guess. Yeah. I guess, but although. Whatever, I think he should be able to.
Nice.
I think he should be able to also.
Right. I don't think you should have to break the bank. Nice. But whatever, I'm not in charge.
No.
I'm
okay. Right.
So anyway, so I put the thing on Facebook.
Right.
And I don't name names.
And I did not see this until well into the week because I
specifically didn't. I know you're on my Facebook. I could have blocked you from it.
But I don't go on that Facebook every single day.
Right.
You know, I'm not, like, constantly on it. So.
Oh, I saw it that morning. I'm like,
Sheriff. No, I didn't.
Looks like you're troubling,
Dan. I didn't see it until, I want to say, maybe Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Really? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But, you know, like here's the thing. Denise and I are friends. It'd be really easy for me to drag Denise into it, but I didn't want to.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to get through the fucking weekend. Mm-hmm. I really just wanted to get...
No, the way you wrote it was perfectly acceptable. It wasn't...
Thank you.
You didn't name his name, right?
No.
No. You didn't... you weren't bashing. You were just...
This is what's going on.
Yes. And you just needed to vent to the Facebook world.
So...
This is when you have nobody to vent to vent in a Facebook world.
Because most people don't understand. So correct. I'm getting... A ton of support on Facebook.
Yes, I did see that.
A ton of support on Facebook. And everybody is like, pretty much, bury him. Do all crowd work. Bury him. I've done it to people before. I do it very rarely when people are... Only when somebody's a dick to me will I try to bury him. I'm actually...
Well, hey, there's a criteria right there.
No, but there I'm actually go. The opposite. If I actually... if I like who I'm working with, even if I don't really know them, say for some reason my set gets them really rowdy, it happens sometimes. You might have even seen this. Before I leave, go, hey, man, you guys are great, but don't talk to this next guy. Just listen to him. He's really good. You're really going to enjoy it. Because I don't want to fuck up that other comic set.
Correct.
Even though the business tells us we're all in competition, I don't look at it like that.
Yeah, but if you're engaging with the audience, they might continue on with the next comic, and they might want none of it.
Right, and the comics, it's not going to be good for any. Like, I could, theoretically, and a lot of bookers will tell you, well, it's good for me because the guy couldn't follow you. Yeah, I get it, but I don't want to play that game. Yeah, I'd rather do me.
See, I don't think that way.
I know you don't. No. I know you don't, but a lot of people in our business do.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
But I don't think that way, and it probably hurts me.
Well, I think a headliner should be able to follow anything.
I agree
period.
With that.
Yeah.
And I will say, though, listen, on any given night, feature can steal a show. It happens.
Absolutely.
It happens.
I mean, a headliner could just have a bad night. You know, on a Friday night, you could have a shitty show, and then on a Saturday night, kill it. So it's
And the thing about it is, too, is like some really great headliners. You'll see a show, and the MC is great, the middle is fantastic, and the show is at just such a height. And it's like, how is this guy going to pass? And they go up, and they just destroy.
That's the gig.
That's a great show.
Yeah. Yes. And that's what you want as a booker.
Absolutely.
I even saw
Voss one night in your room. It was the second show on Saturday. And it was a great night, and it was the last 10 minutes of the show. And we're like a headliner might dial in. Voss just kicked it into this gear and brought the show. I mean, just doing a couple of improv with the crowd. Phenomenal.
He's just.
You know?
Well, that's why, you know, he's Voss.
That's the thing about a great headliner.
Yes.
And
yes.
I try to take on that same mentality. I'm not saying I'm Rich Voss or anything like that, but I try to take on the mentality like, hey, man, I mean, it's why I bring Joe with me. Joe headlines shit. I know Joe can steal a show from me. Mm-hmm. I know that, but I know he's going to do good, and Joe usually rips it up for 30 minutes. I go, now it's my fucking turn.
Right. And,
let's go.
And that's the thing, that we're very close friends. However, when it's showtime, I'm going to try to make it hard for him to follow me. He knows
because
that.
Because you want to be a dick to him?
No, because I, you know, because it's essentially a pissing contest.
Yeah, I don't even look at it like that. Yeah.
But,
he looks at it like, probably because he's in the middle. I don't look at it like that.
And he'll look like that he'll top it. But the bottom line is, what a show the audience is going to get.
Because you're all giving your
100%. We're not dialing it in.
No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're all there with our A game.
And have I ever asked you not to do something?
No, never.
No, yeah, just do you. Go have fun. That's what it is. All right. So I'm feeling really bad about this. And I get a call from somebody who we all know, Joey Cola. Now, Joey, Joey and I see each
other. It invokes a smile when you say things.
Yes.
It really does.
Joey, Joey and I see each other maybe once a year.
Right.
You know, Joey and I don't see each other that often for whatever it is. And Joey, you know, here's the thing. I've talked about this before. When Dennis Ross passed away last year.
Why do I know that name?
He's a comedian. He never worked for you.
No.
But you
okay.
know of him.
Okay,
Dennis
that's
Ross.
Why. Okay. Mm.
And Ray Panetti got sick. I don't even know where Ray is. You certainly know Ray.
Oh, yeah. I was going to be. I always
he got
wondered.
Sick a while ago, right?
Yeah.
But he kind of he stopped returning calls. So
well, I know. I Facebook and everything. I mean, I tried reaching out to him once, too. And you don't want to be. That's fine.
So those were like the two guys that I really would talk to about things. They've both been doing it longer than me. And Dennis was certainly headlining a lot longer than me. And I don't have those people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Joe and I will talk about stuff, but it's a little
yeah,
different.
That's like, you know, you would go to Dennis, I go to Joe Starr.
Right.
You know, if I, yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah, you're right. There's a lot of people go to
or
Joe Starr.
Or Adam Ferrara and
Joe
Starr.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Further ahead, or they've seen more, or they could, like, well, it's, like one point, Dennis was a mentor, and then we became equals.
Yeah.
And he would come to me with stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't have those people anymore.
Yes.
So a lot of times I feel very lonely with shit. And I knew that was going to happen when he passed away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So to get a call from Joey out of the blue. I mean, what a nice thing. So Joey goes, listen, I don't even want to know who this is. But he's like, you know, and he's just saying all these complimentary things. I'm not going to share because it sounds like I'm blowing myself and I'm not going to do that.
Well, they're for you and you only also.
Right, right. Joey was saying very nice things. And if you don't know Joey Cole, Joey's probably one of the most respected local guys in our area.
I call him an elder. Matter of fact, I actually had a conversation with a couple.
That's a great way to explain him.
But
he
and Joey's, we're the same age. But when I started comedy, it was him, Peter Bale, you know, all these guys. And I always considered Joey an elder.
Joey's one of the few local guys that's not a household name that can still draw some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, most of us, I've been at this a long time. Not drawing huge amounts.
Got all his little housewives that follow him into all the shows.
So for Joey to call me, and we had a really good conversation, an immense amount, and Joey's like, bury. And Joey tells me a story that happened to him. He's like, you got to bury him. Do all the crowd work. You got to bury it. Everybody's telling me to bury this motherfucker.
Including me.
Including you.
Including me.
You told me to bury me.
I told him, I'm working down the show. I'm like, finish him. Because I told him, I'm in the car. I'm doing two shows. I keep me posted. I go, bury him. Bury him. Bury him.
That's the consent. Except now, I talked to Walt Lady. He's like, have you, you know, he called me up again. He's calling you again. He goes, yeah, I don't know what to say to him. He goes,
tell him to call me.
That's why
he doesn't call me.
Give him my number. Yeah. I go, I'm just going to tell him that I told you and you said okay. I said, no, don't say that because I'm not saying okay. I go, I don't know what I'm going to do. I go, just tell him you called me and I didn't call you back.
Yeah.
Tell him that. He goes, I go, listen, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everybody's telling me to bury this guy. He goes, well, I don't know if you should do that because this guy's got connections and you're trying to do TV stuff. But I go, he's not going to help me out anyway.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Well, that's done.
Well, but I was concerned because
what is he going to do? Well, we're not going to give you this TV gig because you did better than me at Bananas.
He's not that big in TV. He's not that big in TV.
Yeah. Well, but he's with Colbert now. You know. And again, we're dealing with new ownership at this club. I haven't worked for ownership. I've worked for the old ownership.
Correct.
So I don't know the standing. I know you and I are tight.
Yes.
But I don't know the I did wonder what the old owners would have done with this. They probably would have told me to shut up and do exactly what I was told.
Exactly
yes, we know the
only.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they would have done.
Whatever. So anyway, I get to the club. I've been thinking about this all day. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to go down. So I'm standing outside the showroom before the show with the host, just chit-chatting. So the other comic quickly approaches me. He's like, I don't want you to do any crowd work tonight. I'm like, I barely did any last night. He's like, no, you did a lot and everybody noticed. Now, I know that's not true because Walt told him I did less. Denise doesn't.
He didn't even ask me, but I didn't listen to the show.
Right.
Because I don't get to do that as much anymore.
Right. So everybody, either way, everybody noticed is bullshit.
I did know that there was a little bit, but not a lot.
Right.
So.
You've seen me where I'll do a whole bunch of it.
Do a whole show dealing with an audience.
And I wasn't doing that because you asked me not to. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Whatevs. You know, it used to be on Friday night, don't say fuck. Now it's don't talk to it. Whatever. It's
we still let you say fuck.
Exactly. It's always something. It's never just go out and be funny.
New ownership, there's not that fuck ban.
Thank God.
Don't say
thank God. So I'm like, I barely did this. He's like, no, you did a lot. He goes, what is it? I don't know who everybody is because, so he's like, I don't know why you're giving me pushback on this. And I tell him what you said to him afterwards. You hadn't had the comic. I go, because it's wrong to tell a comic to change his style right before a show. Yeah. He's like, well, it's like telling a comic to say fuck. And I go, no, it's not. It's a word. You're asking me to change how I do my show. And I go, I only do material to get into bits. I go, what do you want me to do? Pretend that they're not there? He goes, this is over. And he walks away, and then he comes right fucking back. He got fucking right back.
Finally wasn't over.
This was going on behind me, and I had no idea. No idea that it was going on behind
but
me.
But you're so busy.
At that point,
World War III.
Yeah, there was a line.
There was a long line.
Yeah, but the World War III could go be going. You're very engaged in what you need to do.
So
yeah.
I thought this was over. I thought this was over. I thought this was a boomerang argument. I thought this
was a boomerang argument.
Motherfucker.
I was like, oh, I give it with Joanne, my wife.
Exactly. So. So he goes, you know, when you're a headliner, I go, I am a headliner. I said that to him. He goes, no. He goes, I know, and you're a good act. He said that. Now, he might just be trying to kiss my ass, or he might have heard what I did on Friday night.
Or Walt might have told him also.
Anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. He goes, but, you know, you would do that. I go, no, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. So now I have all these comedians telling me to bury him. Mm-hmm. I got this guy getting in my face. I still don't know what to do. So I just go into the showroom. And Denise comes up to me. I didn't know Denise was. I didn't go running to Denise. I don't fucking.
Nope.
I don't bother you. Like, we'll chit-chat before the show or after the show.
Yes.
But I don't go running to you, like, because I'm not about that. I don't really need the drama. I just want to do the fucking show.
Just go up and do the set. Yes. Entertain the audience, and that's the job.
That's
the job. It's a simple job, you know. I don't know why these.
And yet it's not.
Yes.
And yet I can't do it.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, you have a good act, and I'm thinking to myself, which apparently fucking scares you. That's what I'm. That's what I'm thinking to myself. Because if you're so worried about what I'm doing, you're not confident when you listen. I'll be in the back of the room. And I'll see Joe ripping it up. I'll think to myself, well, this is going to be a problem. And I'm thinking, because every comic does, how am I going to follow this?
But
it's not my problem.
But if you're that confident, it's not a matter of how am I going to follow this.
Right,
because you will be able to follow it regardless.
Right, I know that I'll be able to figure it out.
And the thing about it is that when you are watching an act really, ripping it up and you're up next, you say, oh, boy. But then you say to yourself, well, you know what? It's my, I do my show.
Absolutely.
I'll set up shop and I'll do it. However, it's kind of rough if you feel that the other act is handcuffing you. You know, it's like because the freedom you have is to go up there and go, all right, I'll do my thing. I'm free to do my thing.
That's what the stage is for, you comics.
Right, but now you have another act trying to handcuff you.
So Denise asked me what's happened, and I tell her, and she says, I wish he would have told me he's got a problem with crowd work guys when I booked the show. Mm-hmm. So I told you, so I actually said this to you. I go, well, why don't you just put him in the middle and let me close? I said, well, I don't know why you're laughing. I said, because he's not doing anything that I'm afraid of.
I know
That'll ease tensions.
But, that's where the new ownership comes in. That I couldn't do.
Right, yeah, right.
Well, you could if he was crying like a little bitch and you told him. Because I saw what he... First of all, I have the headliner mentality that I'll follow anybody.
Yeah.
No. I have followed all sorts of acts. Mm-hmm. There was nothing he was doing that I was going, ooh, no. Fucking not a thing. So I'll go... Yeah. He could do 25, 30 minutes of crowd. I don't give a shit. But Denise did not go for that.
No, I wasn't going to go for
that
one.
So sorry. You can't suddenly move the headliner to the middle spot.
If the headliner, if the headliner had asked to go in the middle.
He's too stupid for that.
Exactly. I would have.
Right.
But if a headliner was to ask, like if a headliner says, God damn it, that guy's really good. You know, and let's just do one show, see how he does, or whatever. I mean, it's happened before, and I would have, but.
So now I'm worried that this guy's going to give me a bad report to the new owners, because I don't know the relationship. Denise assures me she'll give I mean, a good report, which which I appreciate. So I told you this. I go, you know, I held back last night, right?
Yes.
Because I did.
You did. You did. You did not deal with the crowd as much as you usually do.
So I asked you, I go, Denise, what do you want me to do? I go, what happens if I'm trying the material and it's not going? And normally I would go into crowd to get them on board. I go, Denise, do you just, and I said this, I go, do you just want me to eat my dick up there? Is that what you're, because that's essentially what we're going.
And what I tell you to do? I didn't tell you to eat your dick.
No, you said, I don't know.
Yes, it's definitely an I don't know question. I mean, if an audience member talks to you, you have to respond to
him. He doesn't even want me doing that.
No, I understand that.
But that's tough shit on him.
But to, I think it was don't invoke more of it.
He didn't want me talking to them at
all. No, I understand that. But I mean, it's, you know, if an audience member says, asks you a question, then you're being rude by not answering.
Exactly. Them. But he wants me to be rude so he can look like a genius.
Yes.
So you go, I don't know.
I which I didn't at that moment. I had no idea.
And you said this really puts me in a sticky situation.
Yep.
And I kind of just like, I walked away then because I didn't know what to say to that.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, nobody knows what to say to either end of it. It does put me in a very sticky situation because I know your act and I don't want you to change your act. Yet he is the headliner, you know, and there are certain things that you have to, you know, I don't want to say...
Cater to.
Correct. Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. I mean, not that he's, you know, a Kevin Hart type act where you're catering, but as a headliner...
You have to cater to a certain
degree.
I got to play some of these venues where I get catered to. There's never... The only cater I get, there's the buffet, have some ziti.
Because you never complained about a middle act being better than you. You never made that complaint before.
Exactly. He's not, you know, there are other acts out there, and I'm talking people that are unbelievably well known now that brought their features because they know that they knew that they weren't as good. And they brought somebody that they could follow because they were so afraid of somebody better than them.
Argument I was making to him last night about the chain he was playing.
Correct.
And he did not necessarily agree with that, which is fine. So I don't know what I'm gonna do there, because now you've said that you've put me in a sticky spot. If it's not Denise, who is our friend, who we've known for a long time, if it's a regular club, fucking burying him. Fucking just going in to the material, but I mean going into the crowd work, But I'm torn. I'm torn because I got this asshole who everybody's telling me to bury and who I want to bury, and I got my friend here who's in a sticky situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I did what I always do. I opened with material. The material happened to go really well throughout the whole set, to the point where I really did not talk to them at all.
No, you didn't. You didn't do that on purpose? It just flowed that way?
I did not do that on purpose.
Okay.
I mean, if something had happened where I had to, I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not go into the whole crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done what was necessary, but I was going to give the material a chance to work.
Okay.
The material all worked really, really well.
It was really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's
not me. That's customers coming out, because I listen to that also.
Okay.
I listen to what customers say as they come out.
I come off stage, and Denise goes, I love you. I go, if you love me, don't put me with assholes like this.
I'm not coming to again.
but I go, Denise, I go, enough with this, because it's not the first time. And that's the first time I've had this issue where a person's bitching about me. It's not the first time I've had better shows than the headliner at that club.
Mm-hmm.
It happens a fair amount of times. And, you know, and during that weekend, the headliner might have better shows than me, too. But it's not an anomaly for me to do really well in Denise's club, for whatever the reason is. But I have not been able to move up, and that's something for another day. So I say, Denise, I go, you know, listen, you're in the same boat.
You're better off than he is at this point. You are. You'll get more work than he will.
Right. That's fine. But
no, I mean, it's just, it's...
I understand.
You're right, too. Yeah, I know.
The way that it is.
Yeah, right,
you know,
I know.
I can guarantee you two to three.
I'm just kidding. I'm
I know, where I can only do maybe one every 18.
Right.
Now we're down to 18?
I'm telling you.
That's unfortunate.
It's very scarce.
So Denise, I go, Denise, you know...
Uh-oh, God punished you.
I go, Denise, you know, she didn't know this at the time. I go, everybody told me to bury this guy with crowd work.
I did not know that.
Right. And you go, well, you didn't because you're not a douchebag. And I go, no, I didn't because
he is a douchebag.
No, I said that. I go, no, I did that because of our friendship.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to put myself on the pedestal. I'm too good to be fucking petty and
burning this guy. Well, because you knew, no matter what, I would have heard the backlash.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. We were working in Michigan, and we worked at this place where we were there twice, and they treated us like garbage. And Denise, you know me and him, and you know me.
You're very easygoing.
Always go. No, this woman was yelling at us where we were ready.
Might be an episode on the show, by the way. I was thinking about tonight.
We didn't look at each other, but if we looked at each other, we would have bailed on that gig. And the only reason we didn't was Davin had a very good relationship with the booker. Because I came along as a man, but he had a very good relationship with the booker, and he wouldn't do that. But we were this close.
Well, because then you would be essentially screwing the booker.
And that's why it's
going to come back and bite you in the ass that way because it could ruin. You just eat it, get through it.
It was that bad because you know the both of us. And this woman had us to the point where we were ready to walk. We were out of there.
So he goes up, and he's doing his crowd work, and he's like, oh, a birthday. Did the other guy talk to you about that? I'm in his fucking head.
Yeah, but a birthday should have been spoken about from the MC anyway.
Right. I mean, your headliner shouldn't have to be...
Exactly.
But I'm in this guy's head.
Headliner shouldn't be doing birthdays.
And I didn't do that. I did, because of Denise.
Right.
I did not do that. Mm-hmm. But... I'm thinking, you know, it's never a good place to be as a comedian where another comic is in your head.
No.
I would think that's a very scary position where you're thinking, what'd this guy do? What can I do?
Well, if you're based on crowd, if you're doing a lot of crowd work, too, and you go up, now you're wondering what he talked about and what he did.
Right.
But once it, don't get me wrong, you're supposed to top that as the headliner.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, that's
Listen,
what you're
I
supposed
bring a,
to do.
I don't think you know. I think you know of him. I bring Rich Carucci with me.
I know Rich.
Rich is a huge crowd work guy. Mm-hmm. Does it, like, if he's doing a 30-minute set, he'll do 20 minutes of crowd work and just in-your-face crowd work. And I'll bring him in front of me. I know it's not the proper opener for me, but he's my friend. And I'll figure it out. And I'm not going to tell him, hey, don't talk to the crowd.
But you're also sitting there, you're listening to his act, and you're listening to what he's talking about.
Yeah. So if Rich is...
So whereas this other comedian didn't listen to anything...
Right. Not after the first night.
They're a comic. So this is, to me, what makes a really great comic, is a headliner that sits in the room and listens to the opening acts so he can adjust his act also.
Well, what I'll do is...
You need
I'll...
to get in the head of the room. You need to get into the head of the room.
Back.
There will be a comic that say, just out of, you know, they talked about Obama. All right, you know what? I'm going to take out this Obama bit.
Yeah.
Because he did it, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to repeat.
Right.
But that's what a great comic
does. Well, I'll call back to what the other comics are saying. You know, I'll call back to a joke that they had and intertwine it with
and
one
of And that's good also.
It brings the whole room together. It all makes us like you. Now, there were jokes that we had similar topics on, which I may have done on one of the shows. And then his jokes kind of fell flat. But
now that was the douchebag move under the radar.
I never said I wasn't a douchebag. I was following instructions.
You just weren't being a douchebag to me.
Well, that was all I cared about. That was all I cared about.
Which I'm very grateful for.
So in between the shows, one of the guys who works at the club, he goes to me. He goes, "This has gotten out of hand." I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "He just told the bartender no crowd work." I fucking howled. He was joking. No, he was joking. Well, howled.
That totally sounds like something he would do.
What can I get you guys? What did I tell you?
Now, that was a great callback, not on stage.
It was
great. Just for us.
But then later in a serious moment, he goes, I don't know what his problem with the crowd work is. You guys don't even do similar crowd work. I go, I know.
Yeah.
Mine's like coming off the cuff. His is all contrived.
It very much is, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking up there to talk. I'm not doing interview crowd work. I'm not doing where do you from, where do you do, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get into bits, and then if somebody yells out crazy shit or they give me a weird answer, I'm going
to
play.
But what I don't understand is why this specific comic chooses to do that kind of crowd work when there's no need for it.
Because his material isn't that strong.
Yes.
He's a warm-up act. He's 25 minutes of a warm-up act. And he's 20 minutes of okay material. Honestly, without those credits, he's not headlining that club. He's got good credits.
Yes, he does.
He's been a long time.
He's an Emmy-winning writer.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't usually get very cocky about my comedy. I feel confident in my comedy. Mm-hmm. He's not a better comic than me. He had good sets. He had a good weekend. I'm not going to say he
didn't. I mean, it was a great weekend by all. And not, you know, the MC was fantastic.
Everybody did
that
great.
Night.
Everybody did great.
You know, who was a new guy? Never saw him before. He was really
great. I'm going to hire him. Very funny.
Really?
Yeah, he's very funny.
Such a great kid. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, you know, just a
sweet guy.
Very sweet guy.
I liked his material. The thing was, he was going with material, and I don't know if the audience was ready for it, but I enjoyed his material because I was in the room watching him.
Well, then the audience needs to pay attention.
Yes, they do.
And usually on the first comic, they don't, which is, you know, which is fine, but he was good. Yeah. I liked him.
It was a really,
and then you were, it was a great three act show the whole weekend. You know, sometimes one can be a hit or miss. Even if they're a good comic, again, like I said earlier, somebody could just have an off day.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. It's live entertainment.
Yeah.
So the second show, the audience was not quite as on point. So I did wind up talking some a little
now,
bit.
Now, were the words between the first and second show?
Oh, no, we didn't say a word. And his wife ignored me, too.
All right. you won't become over for the holidays.
No, we shan't be.
We shan't be over for the holidays.
Did you even meet the wife?
No, he didn't even introduce
okay.
me. Hi, this is the comic I'm afraid of. He's not going to do that. Fucking cowards.
Hysterical.
Maybe okay. If Walt was there, he would have had Walt introduce us. But... So they weren't. The audience was not as on point with the material. So I did talk to them a little bit more than I did on the first show, but still not as much as I normally would have.
Right.
Yeah.
But more than. But it still went well. It was a good show. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't as great as the first show.
Right.
In my mind.
Yeah, but the first show was. It was a really good show.
Going back to Joe Starr, I call it the Starr rule. Joe will say you'll have shows that it's okay. The comment cards are coming back positive. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's going to come back, but it's never going to get above a certain level.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you just deal into that. You ride that level.
And this
you're
was
fine.
A good audience.
It's
fine.
Right. Exactly.
Analyze every comment, also, or everything like that.
That's what we do, and that's what kills us.
Yeah.
We get in our own heads.
Yeah.
That's why I don't read Yelp. I'm sure that there's not nice things about me on Yelp, and I don't ever read Yelp or anything like that.
I can't even find Yelp.
I mean, I'm sure I'm known as the bitch at the door.
So he goes up again, and again, he's asking groups if I talked about them. Like there was like a bachelorette party. It's like, and I hadn't. I mean, it's prime goal, and I'm in his fucking head for the second.
And you
want to
know something?
Had a good first show.
And you want to know something? Maybe if you sat in the room and watched the show and noticed
you
what the
know.
And you know what? If that was me, I'd sit in the room. I like to sit in the room because every room has a vibe, and I want to pick up. I want to be in that vibe.
He would have made himself miserable.
Yeah,
I mean, he would have seen I'm actually doing what he's asking, but he would have made himself miserable.
Not only you, but also the opener act too. Yeah. It's a very solid show. He would have seen that, and
he probably
apparently very intimidated by people.
So, but then he gets mad at the audience when they start talking amongst themselves. Here's the thing: I do crowd, and I know if I'm talking to them. Even though I'm not really giving them permission, I'm kind of giving them permission to talk, even if it's amongst themselves. I can't get fucking mad if they're going to break off into groups and I have to corral them back within reason because I opened up the floodgates by making this a dialogue.
Yeah.
He was not happy with them for that. And then he's like, some guy is looking on his phone and he goes, come on. He's like, get off your phone, man. I've won Emmys. I'm like, really?
That's a cringeworthy moment, huh?
I'm just like, really? Is that what we're reading our resume now? Yeah.
Didn't the credits say that?
They did. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, is that what we're doing? I mean, you know, it's like somebody's being a dick to me. Hey, man, I went overseas and entertained for the troops. Nobody fucking cares at that point.
Yeah, really.
They've already decided they're tuning out.
Yeah.
The resume is insignificant. They've already made a decision that something else is more important than you, no matter how funny you are. It's just the way it is. Reading the resume. Fuck, sick your fangs into them. Be my guest. Rip them apart. They're being rude. I got your back on them. Don't fucking read your resume.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about your resume. You know, I might tell them I'm going to talk about them on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I might threaten them with that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
But don't read the resume. Anyway, so I sold more merch that weekend than I normally do at the club.
Did you?
Selling merch?
Yes.
No, he was
no,
just, he was just,
no, no.
He was just doing email lists, like it was 1998.
Mm. Email lists, yeah.
But, I mean, good for him. Yeah. Had a lot of people signing up, good for him. You know, when he comes back, he figures he'll get a lot of them to come back. It's smart. Mm. I used to do that. I gave up on it. Just like, this is too much work. But, you know.
It is a lot of work.
It is.
I do that with the band. I go out with the email list.
So, listen, in my mind, and I'm jaded, he's not a legitimate headline.
Your religion shouldn't have anything to do with it. Sorry.
It's all right. We all fail. That was your turn. I mean, I'm not. I was really hoping the resume said one thing. I was really hoping to sit back as a comedy fan, because as you know, Joe, as you know, Denise, you see enough comedy, it's really hard to be impressed and see something differently. You just become jaded. The audience loves it, and you go, oh, I'm glad he did a great job. You know,
Never did that before, being at the club previously. That was not a part of his act, just so you know.
But it was years ago since he'd been there.
Yes, it had been quite a few
years. Was his act more like what I expected it to be in the past?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was topical. It was, you know, writing. And, I mean, he's a writer by trade, so, you know.
I think now he's a warm-up comic by trade. No, but that's what he's doing. He's warm-up. Right. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Listen, man, I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Joey Cola boat.
But Joey has material.
No,
Joey,
I know. Yeah.
Joey's
I know.
Not calling people on stage for 25
exactly.
minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Joey's got jokes he wants to get
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
So even though Joey does crowd warm-up, I don't look at him as a warm-up act,
yeah.
per se. You know?
Yeah.
Because Joey's been a 30-year vet.
Yes.
You know?
But this guy's been doing it a long time, too, Joe. You know?
The warm-up?
No, I don't know about the warm-up. I'm saying this comic's been at it a long time.
Yes. Yeah. When did that happen?
Yeah. A long time, yeah. Oh, that happened? That.
We're not going to get into it, so people can't really figure out who
that
it is.
That happened about 12 years ago?
No, it was
more
definitely
than
longer than that. It was definitely
maybe 15 years ago.
It was, yeah, because I was pregnant when it happened, and he's going to be 15. It was in the summer.
Okay.
15 years ago.
Okay, all right. Yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's exactly
that
what
makes
happened.
Sense. All
I was
right.
on vacation when it happened.
Well, so that was that.
That's really why I remember it.
So that was the story. That's what happened. I think you knew some sides of it that you did not know.
No, I didn't. But again, I addressed it with him. It's in my.
What did
notes.
He say?
Exactly what he said to you. Exactly, you know, what he said to you.
So he wasn't thrilled with either one of us?
Probably not. You know, I just said, you know, that's something that you need to advise a club. You know, and I have no issues with it. By far, none whatsoever. If that's how you want to do your
you
act,
book a show accordingly.
Absolutely yeah. fine. Yes. You know, and I will not book somebody who speaks or, you know, invokes an audience. You know, there are comics out there that will just talk and do straight comedy.
Yeah.
Their full whatever amount of time,
yeah, sure.
you know, and it just one stuck into my head right now. But he
who is a good comic?
Yeah, Matt Burke. Just,
okay.
Oh, Burke.
he won't talk to anybody.
Okay, but that's
he doesn't want to.
But exactly.
Go up there. Tell my drone.
It's like going up to Matt before the show and go, Matt, I need
yeah.
to talk to the audience a little bit.
Exactly. It's not going to happen.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
But that's what I would be
just
at.
To get him wearing something that's not black.
Yeah,
as
Matt.
Hard.
Right.
Fuck you.
He's sitting shiver perpetually.
Exactly.
You don't ask a guy to change or a girl to change
yes.
what they're doing.
Yes.
You don't do that.
So I did, like I said, I addressed it, mm-hmm. you know, not happy, obviously. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't the same conversation that you had.
Well, he was yelling, and I wasn't.
Did not yell at me. Just pretty much said the same thing. Like, it's like asking a comic, you know, not to say the word fuck. And said pretty much exactly what you said. It's not the same thing. So I said, I'm just telling you to make it easier on somebody like me and my job and a show. It's something that should be known. I mean, it is known now. It's in my notes, you know.
Like you'll be racing to get him back to the club.
I don't book the headliners, so.
Okay. Well, I shan't be racing. I don't think we'll work together again.
No, you will definitely never work with him
we
again.
We shan't be working together
I will
together
make
again.
Sure of that.
That's fine.
On my end, although I don't like two comics to work together consecutively anyway, so.
You've put me with all different types, and I get along with everybody.
You do. Yeah. You do. I mean, 90% of the comics get along. 95%, I'm going to say, get along with all the other comics.
I got along with
time,
I got along with Dustin quite well. And I know you're not a fan. I got along with him quite well. I worked with him twice at your club.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. That's funny.
Right, but if it's like he's one known as being a little bit more difficult to get, I got along with him fine.
Yeah, but even so, some comics come in. There was one weekend I was there with these two comics that came from the city. Very quiet, you know, and I really didn't talk to them much. But they're very nice people, you know? It's, you know.
All right.
Everybody's different, you know? Yeah. You can't like everybody, but you can respect everybody.
Right. Yeah, you do you, I'll do me. That's what
exactly.
I put on Facebook.
Exactly.
Let's just give these people a show.
So again, you will not be working with him again.
The audience did get a good show.
They did. I'm not disputing that. That it was a great show. It was a great weekend. You know, had there not been animosity behind the scenes, it probably would have been.
Well, like I
better.
Said, I wasn't going to talk to you about it.
No. And that's appreciated because, you know, it's petty is what it
really,
is.
And if you see how, you know Denise, we all know Denise, you know, her and I, but if you know her, she's very, very busy. It's very, very busy.
She doesn't need it. So bullshit.
She
doesn't
need
it. And it was bullshit, and it was bullshit getting Walt involved. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Walt was like in a weird. I'm like, well, don't be in this fucking position.
And the funny thing is, comics are very blunt. You know, it's weird that he has to go through
most
Walt.
Most of the time.
You know, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I really don't. You know, cause that's well, our yeah, nature. Even, that's our nature to
but
tell
then,
you the truth.
Let's go back to Joey Cola with that also. Now, here's a guy who I have seen. Him and Dom Irera is the same way. I don't know if either of you worked with Dom.
Never
Dom,
worked with Dom.
I work with Dom.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he will sit you down and say, listen, why don't you do this here and do this here? Yeah. Try this out to better. Not worrying
yeah,
about,
yeah.
you know, or...
You love
they,
those guys.
They yeah. want him... Joey explained it to me in the best way possible. He goes, Denise, I want everybody to succeed. I want everybody to become a headliner. And if I can give them advice on how to do so,
well, it's funny,
that's what I'm going to do.
Joey, when Joey called me up, he goes, listen, I don't want to give you any unsolicited advice. I'm like, no,
from
Joey.
You, I'll take it.
I go, no, yeah. Joey, please. I'm happy. Listen, I would love... some of your advice. Like he's like telling me he doesn't give me any advice. Like, man, no.
I'd even take advice from
no,
Joey.
Please. What do you think? I'm happy to listen. Listen, do I want to hear from a six-month comic who's been doing it 6 months? Maybe not. Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, I might not want them sitting me down and telling me what I'm doing wrong. But if Joey sees I'm in a situation where I'm in a lot of stress,
yeah.
and he thinks he has some words that might help me get through it or way to look at it, and again, at that point, I don't know what Joey's going to say.
Yeah.
Please, what do you think? I welcome your advice.
I think it's like something you pass on. I was hanging out with Rob Bartlett a year ago over at Ant's house, and I told him a story. I go, years ago, and this is going by like almost 25, 30 years ago, at Top of the Town in Huntington, I go, it was right when Adam Ferrara started. I hadn't started yet, and Anthony was at least 10 years away from being on the radio. And Rob Bartlett took us to the side and showed us the ropes, taught us about comedy. He was telling stories about comedy, stuff like that. And I told Rob, I go, I never forgot that.
It's a great guy.
And I was a sweetheart. And I go, and any comic that wants, you know, advice and asks me, I tell them everything they need to know because I'm passing on what you gave, passing it on,
you know,
what you gave to us.
Listen, I've been doing this over 20 years now. Yeah. Long fucking time. I should be way better at this.
A minute longer.
I understand.
Yeah, 20.
Not performing, but I've been in over 30.
23,
like now,
yeah.
You know, some comics, newer comics have called me a mentor. And I just try, if they ask for advice, I give them advice. I never give unsolicited advice because when I was younger, I did that and it was unappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody specifically asked me for advice, I go, what do you want to know? What do you want to talk about? Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to give it. And that's what Joey was doing. And, you know, I even put it on Facebook. If there's a comic who's a well-respected veteran, and you're a younger comic, and they take an interest in it, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't listen
to it. Well, it's also a family thing. Friday night at McGuire's, it was wall-to-wall packed. And I'm middling, and I wanted to tape my set. Mick Thomas is filming for a Tonight Show set. And it was very crowded. I turned out I was able to film my set, but I said to a buddy of ours who was taping Mick, I said, if there's only room for one camera, it's Mick's camera
yeah.
because he's taping for a set. Screw, you know, yeah. you do that out of a curtain because we're family. You know, his set is much more important than what I'm doing, mm-hmm. so my camera doesn't go
well,
up.
Well, this guy's Fredo. We're family, but he's Fredo.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a Funny. Quick break. On the break, we got new music from Hassan Bar with Higher. Yeah, I don't know, Joe. Don't look at me like that. With Higher and DSM Palmenstrand.
Irish group.
Yeah. And then we have DJ Raphael and Chris W. with True Love. And, of course, you can learn more about both those artists at khb-music.de. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Denise about booking. We've talked about it a little bit. We're going to talk to her, give some of the comics